Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I welcome you. This is our time when we can share some thoughts, and I hope that you'll call in today and share yours with me and the others who are listening. For whatever reason, the information that I had set up on the computer about today's show is not entered. So let me give you the topic. What I wanted to discuss about today was the difference between prayer, meditation, reaching the higher mind, inspiration. So there are differences in all of these elements, and I want to talk about these differences as I understand it and through my experience. And the beautiful thing about people is that all of our experiences are somewhat different because we are individuals. And as we discuss this, call in and let's talk about your experiences. Our number to call in, of course, is toll-free. It's 877-876-5227. And as I was mentioning, this information that I'm going to talk about is, of course, from my own personal experiences. Some of it is also has been related to me by working with the Akashic Records. So it's a combination of my own personal experiences and experiences that I've become aware of through the Akashic Records. So let's talk a little bit first about prayer. Prayer covers a lot of different aspects of our life, and as I perceive prayer, it is asking. Whether we are asking, going directly to Source, who we might call God, Source, all there is, or we might be going to someone that we feel is a special friend, like Yeshua, Mother Mary. But basically, it is sending forth a plea, you might say, or you have something in mind that you want help with, and so it is sending out a message for one of these individuals to support you and to give you help. And I do believe all prayers are answered. And call in and tell me and our audience about some of the extraordinary miracles that have happened in your life through prayer. As I said, I define that as something that we have asked for. Now, when we get to meditation, meditation is a fascinating topic because everyone has a different concept of meditation. And some of the different concepts that I'm aware of, the basic concept is to take the consciousness to a higher level. We have the beta experience in the brain, which is we're talking, I'm speaking, you're listening, hopefully. And that means there is a certain activity in the brain that is on a certain level where we are engaged in either conversation or listening, observation. And then as you relax and go into a slower brainwave motion, we would then enter into the alpha state, which would be, you know, sometimes you're driving along in a car and you've done this journey so many times, you know it so well that you don't concentrate on all of the little individual sights along the way. It is almost like you put it on automatic pilot, and you might be thinking, you might be in dreamland. It is almost as if the car is driving by itself. You probably are in the alpha state, all of a sudden you realize, oh, I'm home. That journey went by fast. You get into, and this could also be a point where you get in bed and you're ready to go to sleep and your body starts to relax. You start to sink into the mattress, so to speak, and your muscles relax, your brain relax, and there's a certain, it's almost like you clicked off a button where the energy comes in that, this feels so good. You're probably entering into the alpha state also. And you go into a deeper state, which is approaching the theta state. And you might not be too much aware of the things that are going on around you. But if you heard a baby cry, your baby wakes up in the middle of the night. If you have a young one, then it'll wake you up. So your mind is still in control. Now, I mention this because it has a lot to do with meditation. And there is what I would perceive as guided meditation, where you listen to a record of some sort, a tape, where someone is speaking to you and you are following the directions of the voice. Their voice might be very persuasive for you to relax. It is almost like a form of self-hypnosis. And it is very relaxing, and they take you on a journey, so to speak. You may or may not contact other beings on a higher level because the individual who is doing the guided meditation really isn't opening you up to that, per se. They're opening you up more to get into a relaxed state, to approach alpha, which means when you go to do this by yourself, it might be a little easier for you to get into that wavelength. There's other forms of meditation where you might not use a guided form at all. You have learned how to get into the alpha state very relaxed. Your mind is open. You may or may not have conversations with other beings. You might not be aware of anyone on the upper planes, or you might be aware of some of those in the lower planes that are near this particular planet. Then there is meditation that is actually led by a spiritual entity. I'll name a few: Archangel Michael, Yeshua. Some of the ones who come to our conference calls, they, during some part of the conference call, will lead people on a meditation where they are actually bringing down a tremendous amount of energy from the higher planes. And that affects the body in certain ways. It could be changing and healing different aspects of the physical body. It could be changing the composition of cells. There's many aspects of this kind of meditation, but I'm just trying to give a few ideas as to the different kinds, because in this form of meditation, you are receiving a great deal of energy that comes down from the higher planes. Now, I'm bringing this conversation to you because so many of the readings that I have done for people from the Akashic Records, one of the things that people are continuously told is to reach the higher mind, that is the gateway to the soul monad, which holds all of the knowledge and the experience that your soul has received in its journey. And the reason that this is given is because when you finally do manage to communicate with a higher mind and ask a question, you will receive an answer. Your soul is directing you in this manner. And apparently, there are not many people who I think there's a lot of people who meditate, but I don't think there's a lot of people who actually reach the experience and the direction of the soul through the higher mind. And that's why I decided to chat about this today. The call-in number here is toll-free. Give us a call, 877-876-5227. Give us your comments on what we're talking about, or else we could take some of your questions, or if you have experience along some of the lines that we are discussing, do call in and share this with us. We'd love to have your input. Before I get to the first time I had communicated with my higher mind, I would like to discuss the energetics of it a little bit. What I found through the Akashic Records is that whatever name you use, whether it's God, Source, all there is, there is only one emotion. According to the cherubim, there is only one emotion that Source holds, and that is love. And it is an emotional kind of love. It is a emotion that truly does engage that part of the love emotion and relationship in your own body when you connect with it. And I say that because it's important to understand this, that on so many of our journeys, if we are going to open certain doorways, we have to understand that there is a difference between intellectually knowing what love is and feeling this great emotional experience of an overwhelming love, this emotional experience that engages every aspect of yourself. It is a feeling that is so great that when we go about our daily business and we're disappointed in so many areas, it might be difficult to reach this level of emotional feeling. And so I wanted to mention that, first of all, that this is the only emotion that Source works with, and it is because of this, it is the emotion that attracts the higher beings and the gateway to your soul, your higher mind. This is how you get the attention of your higher mind. So I wanted to mention that first, and then go into the experience that I had the very first time that I connected with my higher mind. I have to tell you, I was unprepared for it. I really didn't know what it was. I was experiencing something that was marvelous, but if somebody asked me about it, I really couldn't give a definition at the time as to what I was experiencing. And I would say that I have been an individual did we have someone trying to call?
Yes.
Oh, yes, and your name, please.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Allison.
Hi, Allison, dear.
I am so loving your topic today.
Oh, wonderful.
So I had to call in.
I'm so glad that you did. And I chose this topic because I'm finding that it is coming up time and time again in the answers to people's questions from the records.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you have? I'm sure you called to have something to contribute, dear Allison.
Well, I just think the subject in general, I think that I know with me, so many of the people that I talk to, clients and whatnot, they can't fathom the idea of, you know, taking time out, whether it's quiet time, meditation time, or whatever you might want to call it, to work on that connecting to the soul, as you're speaking about. or connecting to their, you know, that particular aspect of them. Yet they're so busy doing everything else, like shopping for clothes and food and working. But people take such, you know, really bad care of their spiritual selves. So I was really excited about your topic. I don't know how long I've been meditating. Seems like forever. But I know that for me personally, it really helps me out in every aspect of my life. You know, whether, you know, if you have a problem or something comes up, you know, that finding that peaceful and that place and connecting to source and being there and what you feel in meditation, then when you are just living your life, it just on so many levels helps you to handle everything that comes down the pike in life. So that was and I've had some amazing experiences with meditation, and trust me, I've had hours and hours where I didn't really think, you know, other than the peacefulness of it, I really didn't feel as though anything magical was happening. But I know that sometimes, you know, I think one misconception with meditation, and I'm just going to throw this thought out there to you and ask you what you think about it. Sometimes when you're in that place and you're just connecting to source and it's all quiet and it's all peaceful and doesn't seem like, you know, there's no major anybody stepping forward or visions or things like that. But that information, I feel you're downloaded during that time, that quiet time. I feel that there is a communication. Perhaps you're not aware of it. But then down the road in a few days, I think in your life or in some experience, what you got in that meditation actually comes forth. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense about downloading of information. And I'd like to comment on that. Did you notice anything when you were downloading information, or was it subconsciously?
For me, when I go into a meditation, it doesn't take an awful lot of time. I mean, I literally, I start spinning in my chair, but I'm not spinning. I just feel like I'm going in circles. I don't get dizzy, and I don't want to throw up, so I guess it's not a bad thing. But the way in which it feels is not, it's not like being conscious. It's an entirely different feeling. It's such a peaceful feeling. I'm not aware of being downloaded except I know I'm in communication. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know what you're saying, but the reason that I mentioned this, Allison, is because, there are times when I have seen the information being downloaded, and I thought it would be a good time to talk about it because at first I didn't know what it was, and then I've heard other people say the same thing. They have seen this and they didn't know what it was, and I kind of wanted to just talk about it a little.
Right. Symbols, you know, in dreams is where, you know, like I'll literally, there was a very long time where I would see symbolisms, numbers, all kinds of things. And it's almost like I had a sketchbook and I was trying to write it all down before I woke up, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then when I woke up, I was trying to grasp that information because it was fading quickly. You know what I'm saying?
But I know what I saw
was just hieroglyphics. It was all kinds of things that I didn't really comprehend, like what
were
you're
you
saying.
Were you seeing lines and dots, almost like Morse code?
Everything, every end of the spectrum.
I ask because that's how it affects me. Mm. And I see it goes, it looks like lines and dashes in Morse code, and it moves in front of my eyes from left to right. And at first I didn't know what it was, and if anybody has that happen to them, they're having information downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, at least this has been in my experience, it goes into the subconscious, and it's like you then integrate it, and then the information comes forth later as like, oh, I knew that. The information is, oh, this is so familiar, and it's a knowingness.
That's what I was saying about, you may not be aware of receiving the information in meditation, but 2 days down the road, you know that it came from the meditation.
Yes.
And yeah. That's what I was saying, that I always know. You know, sometimes even when you're preparing for readings and you've got a schedule, sometimes I think even in meditation, without realizing it, you're actually downloading the information for those readings. You know what I'm saying, going along
right.
those lines. Yeah. But I've also had, you know, I know I think one of the most profound meditations I ever had was actually having the white light actually come into the meditation and surround my body. And, you know, I really honestly believe that, you're talking about miracles or you're talking about profound meditations. There's no words in the English language that can describe what it does to your body. There's no words that can describe the electricity of every cell in your body all of a sudden being alive. There's just no words to describe what it felt like as the light came in the meditation. You could see it in your mind's eye. You can feel it as it slowly moves over the body. And then when you're encompassed in the white light, it's like your body, there's no words in the English language to describe what that feels like. And I've had that happen a couple of times in meditation. I'm sure you do that all the time, Carolyn. But for me, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, first of all, it doesn't usually happen with me unless I call it in. And I'm real glad you brought this topic up because we have the power as souls to be able to call the white light in. And my experience has been is to be patient. It takes a little while to come to the physical. I'm guessing maybe a minute or a minute and a half. That's a long time when you're sitting there waiting.
Right.
But for those who don't see that white light, how you get to access that is to intuit it or imagine it. And after you imagine it for a while, you will then start seeing it. And like you say, it is an incredible experience. I think, Allison, what you're saying is people don't meditate because they don't know what the payoff is.
Well, I think people listen to other people that are, you know, have come up with, my guide stepped forward, an angel came, I saw God. And they're expecting a great deal of profound experiences. They're expecting to find the answers to the universe in one meditation. And I think that they don't see the value in meditation unless there's these profound experiences. And I think a very wise medium once told me, and I'm sure that many people would agree, that meditation is a practice, and the whole thing, practice, and making it part of your routine of every day. It's almost like, making an announcement to the higher powers that be, hello, I have an appointment with you, and I'm going to be there every day at this time.
Right.
In this place, and I'm acknowledging the divine within me by this communication with you, and I'm here to listen, to receive information. And I think people expect wondrous things, but what it really is an exercise of connecting to your soul. And it's an exercise of connecting to the divine within you and to feel your essence. And from that, it isn't always these profound experiences, but it's profound in being life-altering for the person who's taken it up as a practice, because inevitably it makes you more insightful, more psychic. It makes you more peaceful, more loving, more in touch with yourself. And it helps you to figure out solutions in your life, you know. And I think it's hard for people to not realize or implement this when it's one of the most important things you can do, because if you meditate, you can handle every other aspect of your life, everything, just through the practice of meditation. Okay, I'll be quiet now. I know I just went on a dissertation, and I'm sorry,
I agree with you 100%. Allison, just as a guess, about how many years would you say that you've been meditating?
Well, Carolyn, I was a kid, and I got a book out of the library, of course, on meditation and transcendental meditation and did various different things. And I believe that was a practice that I did as a child and throughout my teenage years. Of course, motherhood kind of knocked that back for a while, but I've probably been meditating for most of my life.
You know,
but
I'm
really
amazed.
Strongly, I would say, to be honest and to be absolutely honest, to make it a absolute every single day regimen, because it actually brings me to more happiness. You know what I mean? And I actually finally, it took me about 8 years ago to realize it should be an everyday practice because it helps to keep you really balanced. And so I think I've been more faithful to it. Let's put it that way. I've been much more faithful to it in the past 8 years.
Well, what I was trying to get at, Allison, to kind of help other people is how long you had to really meditate before you started to get the results that you believe are possible. I mean, was it a year? Was it 2 years? A month?
Well, results is that's a personal thing. Some of the most, I think, miraculous things about meditation have nothing to do with visions or things like that. I think that connection to the inner self and spending that time with yourself. And with the divine and with your soul and actually making a conscious decision to explore that aspect of you. There's no great visions in there that, you know, miraculous things going on in that meditation, but it is maybe something more profound in the long run by doing it every single day. Now, as far as I'm concerned of when and if, I think I've always had this sort of stuff happen ever since I was a kid. I think when I started implementing meditation as a daily practice, I've had many, many profound meditations within the last 8 years for sure.
Well, I was trying to encourage people with this conversation and also to let people know that you can't sit down once or twice and meditate and feel, oh, this isn't working, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Right.
That you have to be persistent with it.
Well, exactly. And I always tell people, and I know that you do as well, that when you think about the amount of time that you spend on just your personal physical body, you have to dress that body, so you have to shop for clothes. Women and men, haircuts, makeup, nails. Then you got to feed that body, so you cook, shop for food. And then you have to put a roof over that body, so you have to go to work every day and mow the yard. And so if you take a look at the amount of time that you're spending taking care of your physical body, and all that's really required is 15, 20 minutes to take care of the spiritual aspect of you, because you have to acknowledge that you are not just a physical body, that you primarily are a spiritual being having a physical existence. And it's really hard for me to comprehend why people cannot take that time, a little bit of that time that they do use to take care of the physical body, to nourish the spiritual self and the soul. And it doesn't take a lot of time. It could take 20 minutes a day. It could take a walk in the woods.
Allison, I'm impressed that you did this as a teenager.
Well, I was a strange child. Okay, I admit it. Okay, well, anyhow, I just love the conversation. And I should shut up and let you get back to what you were talking about. So
well,
I was just
you.
Excited.
Yeah, thank you for joining us and giving us your input in it. It was a beautiful input. And if people there out there listening are not meditating, perhaps your input will give them a little push. Because I really do think, Allison, this is a time when there's a lot of confusion in people's lives. There's so much swirling around us right now in the news, whether no matter what section of our life that we're looking at, so much around us, people are in a lot of confusion. And I think meditation helps keep one centered.
There you go. Perfect word.
Yeah, it helps keep you centered. It helps keep you balanced. There's a lot of good things that come out of meditation, and I'd like to thank you so much for sharing your experiences with those who are listening.
Well, I thank you mostly for the topic and for the wonderful shows that you do every week, Carolyn. So I will. I'll just keep listening.
Thank you.
Have a great
Allison.
Show. All right. Bye bye.
I appreciate it, dear.
All right. Love
bye.
You, bye.
Our number here is toll-free, folks, 877-876-5227. What Allison was saying, I think, is so true, that the benefits from meditation, you don't always feel at the moment that you are going through it. Sometimes you do. And then there are other times when you know what you got from the meditation is a real balance in your life, a connection in your life that helps center you to the earth and to your God. But something happened to me. I wanted to discuss this. The first time I had connected with my higher mind, it was an accident. We were talking about how the only emotion that source is love, and it is through this emotion, this overwhelming feeling of love, that you connect with your higher mind. And I'd like to describe this incident because it might give you some input as to what to look for, what to expect when you work with that element of the emotion of love. I was very fortunate several years ago to go with a group to Lourdes. And it certainly is a very inspirational place, probably one of the few places in the world where there is love exchanged between everyone. It is an extremely loving place to be in. And if anybody has the opportunity to go to Lourdes, I would suggest that you do that, because the energy there of love is predominant, and it is a beautiful place to be in. I decided I wanted to go to Mass, and I thought I made a mistake because I had picked a Mass that was done in French. And I had a couple years of French in school, which I had forgotten, so what I had remembered wasn't that much of a help to me. Not only that, when I went in to find a seat, it was so crowded. The only place that I could sit down was behind a big cement column, so I couldn't even see what was going on. And that was one of these synchronistic mistakes, in a sense, where I received such a great benefit from it, because all I could do was sit there, face this stone wall, and rather than face the stone wall, I closed my eyes, because the wall wasn't all that interesting. And what I concentrated on was this incredibly beautiful, loving hymns that were sung in French, which is a very melodic language. And I didn't understand what they were saying, truly, but what I felt was this immense sense of love. And I guess the service was probably an hour or an hour and a half, and as I am sitting through this, just experiencing the love and the devotion that was in these voices, and it was a group of male tenors, just to set the scene a little bit, singing these incredibly beautiful devotional hymns. And it got to the point where the tears were just coming forth. The tears were just streaming out of my face because it was so beautiful, so loving, and it was at during the height of that I made contact with my higher mind. It was like a doorway had opened up, and it was like this, it's hard to describe this, but I had this sense of this very knowing, very experienced voice. And since I am clairaudient, and maybe there are others out there who are not clairaudient, you might not hear it, the connection. You might see it in colors. And the voice asked me what I wanted to know. And I'm asking different questions, and the answers are coming forth, and it is the best thing that I can describe is that I am enveloped in this tremendous love, from the point of asking the questions to the point of receiving the answers. And I didn't realize at the time what had happened until the event was over. I later learned that, like I said, it was an error in a sense, but it was one of these beautiful synchronistic errors that happen in life. And so what I learned was that this emotion of love, and just not, well, I love, you know, God and I love everything, not the intellectual. It is something that you have to feel dramatically to connect. So that was the first lesson that I learned. I then later learned, I worked with Tom Kenyon, and I have a great deal of respect for the gentleman. His website is tomkenyon.com, and he is a sound healer. I've been to several of his seminars and workshops, and they are remarkable experience. I would recommend it to anyone. I've been with him with a group on several trips that they have taken to other parts of the world. We've been to southern France. Remarkable trips. And he had a workshop where people called in the higher beings. Tom was doing the calling, and he has a 5-octave voice, which is quite remarkable. And he called in all of the sacred beings, and there is a record. I think this is a great assistance when you want to do this, is to use that record, a CD, and follow it. It's the Garndava experience. And he calls in the different masters, and you can tell there's a large group there who are working with him. And as he calls in the masters, this group is working with the energy. You can't hear the record without being moved in some fashion, because what he is working on is the energy of love. And so if you're trying to trying to get to the higher mind, this is a marvelous way of doing it. Now, if you choose, I do believe that once you work with the love energies, and it's got to be this overwhelming. If you listen to the CD, you know what I mean by that. It just picks up your heart and carries you away. This emotion of love. And that is the key, I think. You know, we all have things that move us in a certain way. I can't see a little child giggle and laugh in their enjoyment of life without feeling this great emotional feeling in my heart. You know, the innocence of a little child, how they, and the wonder of maybe exploring a butterfly or a flower, that for me brings this emotion of love into my heart. And I'm sure each one of you have your own, reminders of what love and beauty and God is, and many of them have to do with nature. They have to do with music, and some people do it through watching a flickering light of a candle. Use one of these elements in your meditation to get you to that level of the emotional feeling of love, because I think it'll bring much more into your life. You know, as Allison was saying, and I thank her for calling in and talking about this, people wonder, you know, they're not going to do something unless there's a payoff for it, whether it's a job, whether it's cooking, got to be a payoff. And I'm telling you that meditation, the greatest, you know, we talked about what some of the course of the payoff is in meditation, but one of the real payoffs, as I see it, is to understand the guidance of your soul, what your mission is, the reason that you came here. We don't always know that. Now, you can request a reading, your own Akashic reading, and that your record will tell you what you promised to do when you came. If you choose not to do that, and you choose to find this out yourself, you can. Something else that I wanted to mention here is we talked a couple weeks ago about the Hara line. And those who work with Reiki possibly see this. It is a line that runs through the body. It is crystalline. And that line goes to the center of the earth, and it also goes to source. This is another way that you get your information about your mission, about your destiny, directly from source, is to clearing the Hara line. And this is an interesting thing. We've talked about how the energy body, the emotional energy body, is right next to the physical body. So if we have stuck energy from either past lifetimes or stuck negative energy from this lifetime in that energy body around the physical, it bends, or maybe not breaks, but certainly distorts the Hara line. And the Hara line has to be straight to have this connection with source. Before Atlantis, all of we didn't have that problem because we were living in a higher vibrational wavelength. At the fall of Atlantis, we sank into a lower vibrational level. And so we have to clear, we now have to make a special effort to clear the emotional body and get on track with the inspiration from source along with the higher mind. Because what happens then is we start to remember. And it's frustrating for us sometimes. I laugh about this. We came here, we don't remember anything, and we don't have an operational manual. We have to go it alone, so to speak. And these are the ways that we start to remember what was in that operational manual before we came. We start to remember our past lifetimes. We start to remember what we need to clear in this lifetime. And so it is a remarkable journey that we're on. Folks, we have about 10 minutes here. Give me a call, 877-876-5227. Let me know some of your experiences with meditation, with some of these love energies that I'm talking about. If you reach them, what inspires you? Is it the face of a child? Is it the sound of their laughter? Is it the faithfulness of your pet? You might have a dog or a cat that's very close to you that gives you great comfort. Let me know what is in your physical world that inspires you. So along with that, for the last 10 minutes, I'd like to mention something because I think this is very extraordinary. I am finding through readings that I do for people, and I have to say there's been a tremendous amount of really valuable information, that there are a lot of cherubim. Yes? Hello?
Carolyn?
Yes.
This is Lila.
Hi, Lila.
Hi, Annie. Listen, you know, you talked in the past about monads. I really don't understand exactly what a monad is. I know it's connected to the higher self. Could you please explain a little of that to us?
Well, very, usually the word is reaching to your higher mind, because that is the gateway to your other experiences. And the soul, Lila, is very large in its construction, much larger than we can even comprehend. We think of our soul in comparing it to us, the ego. In other words, Carolyn Evers, I'm the ego here, and I think of my soul as being the size of me, but it's not. It's much larger, because some of it is very close to this dimension, and some of my soul goes up through, there's parts of my soul on higher dimensions. So it's like a line, a connecting line to other parts of your soul. There's only a small, from what I see, there's a small part of our soul that is here guiding us, and there's large elements behind that. In other words, as we've come down through the dimensions, we've had experiences in many areas, and all of our soul hasn't come with us. That, from what I can see, some of our soul is experiencing other experiences in other dimensions.
Right now.
Matter of fact, I have some friends who are very good at meditation, and what they do is they can follow their other selves in other dimensions. I can't say that I do that, so I don't have anything to offer from personal experience, just what I hear other people tell me, that they can actually watch these other parts, other entities that are connected to the soul. So as far as trying to give you a description, Lila, the best thing that I can say to you is the higher mind, our higher self, is really the one that we're communicating with, but the experiences are coming from behind the higher mind, our higher self, that is even much broader than what we have experienced here.
Well, I know the higher self also is connected to the monad, and that's what I was wondering. What, is the monad just the memories of the soul?
I would say it's more than a memory. It is a collection of experiences.
Oh, uh-huh.
You meditate, don't you, Lila?
Yes.
Do you do that every day?
I try to every day. Sometimes I miss it. I get so caught up in so many things.
No, I figured that you must meditate every day. What has been some of your experiences that you might want to share? What has been the benefit for you of meditating?
Well, you know, when I was a little child, I would say maybe in just my early teens, 12, 13 years old, I realized, you know, I would hear from the Bible that all knowledge is within, the kingdom of God is within. So I would say, well, if that's true, and I have touch with God and with all knowledge, I should be able to ask whatever I need. And I started to do that. I would just go inside myself and ask a question. And I would wait, and zoom, answers would start coming that I know didn't come from any of my experience or anything I ever experienced or heard before. And I would have so many marvelous answers. So I realized, you know, these things were inside. But I really didn't keep it up for a minute. You know, you're teenagers, you're so busy doing so many things. But I always remembered that he could go within and really connect and get answers. I would even remember one time I was walking. I didn't know which direction I should be in New York. Whether I should go left or right. And so I just stood still for a minute and asked inside, and I got the answer. It was the opposite direction that I thought I should go, but I went and it was correct.
Isn't it wonderful when that happens? Lila, I have a story that's very similar to that. Here in the States, we had a period of time, what might be repeating itself, we had a gas problem here where we didn't have enough gasoline. And I was coming home one night, a lot of the filling stations were closed, and I was running out of gas. And I was in an area that I wasn't familiar with, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't have enough gasoline to get home. And I did just exactly what you are describing. And I got the answer, which way to go. And when I took that direction, there was the filling station.
Amen. So, it's really beautiful.
You know, Jesus has said in the Bible in many places about going within.
Yes.
This, to me, seems to be one of the central points that he was discussing, to go within.
Exactly. And even, you know, in the Old Testament it says, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty.
Well, you know, there were other groups in the very early church that did believe in that, that you get your answers from within. I'm thinking of the Gnostics, the Cathars. You know, there were many groups who did follow that. They were eventually declared heretics because they didn't believe in a formal church. But there were many people who did follow that, you know, to be their own source, to go in and get your own answers to your questions. Well, Lala, I sure do appreciate your phone call and sharing that, this idea of going within to get the answer. I think it's so important, Lala, because there's a lot of people today questioning, they're going elsewhere to find answers outside of themselves.
Right, yeah.
And they don't realize just how powerful we really are, that we can...
Oh, no. Everything is within if we just have the faith.
Yeah, we can tap... We could tap the unknown because within that doorway is the known. And I kind of like that thought. If,
yes.
Yes.
I wanted to just add one more thing about
sure.
the monads. In one of the conference calls, I think it was Jesus... or Mother Mary was talking about how from the monads, you have these strings that go up through the different dimensions and go right to source.
Well, that's correct. When you meditate, now, just sit there for a second because it's almost like you can see them. The strings are like white light. And Lila, if we can't do it here on the air... meditate later, go within, see yourself pass through the entrance to your higher mind, which is like a doorway, and the monad is like a cluster. And then from that cluster, you see these white threads that go upward. And let me know if you had some success with that, because... I do believe that you could do that. I think you'd be able to see it yourself.
Uh-huh. I know Jesus, in one of the meditations, was talking about he wants us to be connected, see the light, the strings of light are going up to that pool of light that's higher than we are, higher than the, let's say, the spiritual mind goes and connects with this, by the strings, to this light that's above us.
Well, if you recall, at one of the conference calls, what he did was bring down the energies from the higher planes. Is that what you're
yes.
talking about?
Yes. Yes, and he says to visualize that by seeing strings attached
mm-hmm.
from our self, higher mind, to that pool of light that he's bringing down.
Well, Lila, thank you for calling. We are right up to the minute, and we have to go. And since you brought it up, I would like to suggest to people to go to my website, carolynevers.com, and join up for a conference call, because I think it is one of the most soul-changing practices
Definitely.
That a person can do.
Yes, it is.
Thank
you so
you,
much,
Lila.
God bless you, honey.
Bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.